And a very good afternoon. We got a full four-hour show for you today. We got a variety of topics that we're going to be talking about. And one is the statement by Adam Silver yesterday. Doug and I spent about 4 hours talking about this a day ago. Dave Yeager will be coming on with us at 4:05. Jordan Cornette, Campus Insider, CBS Sports College Basketball Reporter at 5:05. And then we'll talk about the Raiders. It is on the agenda. They expect to vote on this either next Monday or Tuesday. And I think we'll know the fate of the Raiders next week. Good afternoon, Mr. Christie.
How are you, sir?
Doing very well, thank you.
Yes, a little rain, a little sunshine. You're getting it all right now in Sacktown.
Absolutely. Listen, I applaud the commissioner, in this case Adam Silver, for coming out and not sweeping this under the rug like he has done in the past, okay? And I think that he has obviously heard from the network executives and the advertisers to the network executives. And when your biggest partner is getting dumped on, you as a commissioner have to come up and make a statement. And he did that. And I don't agree with LeBron James. I think that sometimes LeBron just gets so full of himself, he doesn't realize that there are 29 other teams and over 400 players. You know, he thinks it's just about him, all right? He thinks that the only reason why there's an issue is because he's the one that did not play the other night. And I'm telling LeBron James that that is not the case. And he needs to realize that, yes, he is the best, the most marketable player in the league, and he does move the needle. And anyone that tells you otherwise is delusional and stupid. But, you know, I mean, come on. Stop it already, LeBron, would you? Like, they're making, you know, the commissioner came out because of you. He didn't come out because of you. That's absurd.
Well, you kind of said it. I was going to say, yeah, he does move the needle, but you see, you prefaced it. You said that. You know, it's interesting because I think that a lot of this, Grant, comes up because your best player is on the side of rest and he's the one that's being rested. But this is it's an interesting topic because I asked you off air and I want to ask you on air now. How much of the science of this do you take into consideration, meaning that they have all these charts and all these metrics and all these different things now, and it's saying that if you're playing back-to-backs, if you're doing all this, you're more susceptible to injury. What's your take there, Grant?
My take on this is I've been doing the NBA for 29 years, and I've never noticed a correlation between injuries on back-to-backs or in anything like that. So I think it's nonsense. Do I believe that playing 82 games in the NBA is easy? No, I don't. But you know what? I think it's much more difficult to play 82 games in the National Hockey League than it is in the NBA, and NHL players never take nights off. I think this is a bunch of nonsense. I think it's a bunch of spoiled guys. I think it's absurd. I think it's bad for the football, bad for the sport. I think it's insulting to the sport. I think it hurts the integrity of the sport. And when LeBron James come out and says, quote, "I don't understand why it's become a problem now because I sit out a couple of games." You know what, LeBron? Stop being so full of yourself, all right? It's not just because of you.
See, I don't want to put it on the players because I don't think the players were ever the ones that asked for the days off,
Grant.
Agree. I think that it started with Popovich starting to take days off. I think that actually it started with Pat Riley doing it with the Lakers, and they got severely fined back in the day.
Yeah, but correct me if I'm wrong. Riles did it during the last week of the regular season.
Which actually okay.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yes.
I've said that. I do not have a problem with guys resting in the final week. If you have a game on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night with the playoffs starting either Saturday or Sunday, I've got no problem with that. I personally think that's acceptable, and I even think the fans that have spent money to go watch those games understand that that's just part of the deal. I don't think a fan would get upset over that.
No, I think that they want to see their team in the absolute best light that they possibly can. It's going to be something because what you can't do is people who are paying their money, and I'm talking about advertisers now, not fans.
Yep.
You can't allow your advertisers to feel the way I'm sure that they're feeling right now if you are the NBA. This has to be at the top of the chart. It has to get dealt with, and it has to – that's why I'm glad he put out a memo, but that's just the beginning, Grant. Now you have to figure out and solve this puzzle.
Hey, if you're an advertiser and you're spending millions of dollars to have your ad seen on a marquee game such as last week, Golden State at San Antonio – and Golden State decides they're not going to play anybody, and the Spurs have a couple of injuries, which is one thing. And then the following Saturday, all right, your contract is still includes that game, and the coach of the Cavaliers decides he's resting all three All-Stars, you as an advertiser are wasting your money because your audience that would be normally watching those games has been cut in half or more. And so, therefore, you're like, wait a minute. I'm spending millions of dollars to get my brand out there on ABC for marquee games, and now the marquee players aren't even playing. They're going to start saying, I want my money back. I said this to you a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to continue to say it, okay? The NBA right now is all great, okay? Everything is great. We got a new collective bargaining agreement. TV ratings are great. Attendance is great. Players are making more than they've ever made. Everyone's happy, all right?
Yep.
And I compared it to the housing market when everyone thought that, boy, the housing market's so great. You don't have to worry about anything. You're going to buy a house. You keep it. You're going to make a lot of money. And then the housing market burst, okay? The bubble burst. Anyone that thinks that the NBA bubble cannot burst is naive. The NBA bubble can burst, and it's these type of situations that will start the ball going down the hill. You cannot do this. This hurts the integrity of the game. And, Doug, when you start having advertisers say, you know what, I don't know if I should spend my money with the NBA.
Oh, boy.
Then what happens? When the TV contracts come up for renewal, the NBA says, you know what, we don't have, or the TV networks say, you know what, we don't have $24 billion to spend this time. We have $15 billion. All right, how do players get paid? They get paid a certain percentage of the gross revenue. What happens when salaries start to drop? Okay, then all of a sudden you got unhappy players, and you know what happens when you have unhappy players. This is a situation that needs to be nipped in the bud.
Yeah, you know, when you relate it to like the housing market in a bubble, if you look at salaries, Grant, they skyrocket. The money is way up. And what needs to go on now is not the concentration on the money. You need to go down now and you need to solidify the footing and make sure that this is something, like you just said, that can last, like it has viability for a long time, and it's not something that just bursts and there's nothing there then to hold it up. And what is that? You talk about prehabilitation versus rehabilitation. I heard this argument, and that is part of the way that I tell athletes when I train. Prehab means getting in front of it and trying to make sure that you don't get injured. Rehab is doing it after it's happened, Grant. Well, for the athlete, if you are so worried about getting injured and all that stuff, you have to make sure in the off seasons, you know, what you're eating, how you're sleeping. There's a lot of things that go into this. So it's not just, oh, if you rest, you'll be okay. It's a big process, and it has to be looked at extremely thoroughly.
Here's the deal. Players are flying in the most comfortable airplanes that are available, okay? This, when you played,
yeah,
it was comfortable.
It was.
But you flew with us a couple weeks ago. The difference is night and day, correct?
Oh, boy, that thing is
all right,
nice.
So, most teams are flying around masseuses, all right?
Yes.
You're getting massages on the road. You have the most, most staffs are traveling to trainers instead of one when you used to play.
Right.
So, you know what? I don't want to hear about it. I'm tired of the science of it. I'm tired of it, okay? The reality is, if it was good enough for Karl Malone and Michael Jordan and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson and Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant, it should be good enough for LeBron James and Steph Curry. I don't want to hear about it. Stop crying, stop bitching, and play the game and earn your freaking money and do what you're supposed to do, and that's entertain the fans. I don't want to hear about it. Shut up and go play.
4 and 5 nights, that's probably the one, Grant, that I think probably rings the most with all of this science and different stuff. And, you know,
then instead of playing 35 minutes as a coach, play your guy 20 minutes.
There you go. That's where I was going. There's a way to solve the problem. So if you need to, as a coach, figure it out, as opposed to just say rest a guy, otherwise, you know, if you cut it back to 60 games, well, then the salary cap is going to go from, I'm just using a number, from $100 million to $40 million. It's, everything is going to have to be reflective, and guys aren't going to want to get off the money.
And here's the other deal. The NBA is limited to 4 and 5. Teams don't have more than one a year. Right. And here's something else. Do you remember in 1998-99? What happened? There was a 50-game season,
yep,
and teams were playing 3 games in a row.
I sure did.
All right? Nobody was bitching and complaining about playing Tuesday night in Sacramento, Wednesday night in Salt Lake City, and Thursday night in Denver, okay?
Yeah.
You know, it was a 50-game season, and guys were playing 3 nights in a row. And you know what? Guys weren't taking nights off, and guys' minutes weren't being reduced. They played, and it was fine.
When the NBA was in its infancy, and everything was about proving itself and proving itself to all the people who are going to endorse it and spend money. And then it kept going. And now it's to this point. There's a point of you don't feel like it looks like that you have to continue to prove yourself. And that is, my friend, where you will be sadly mistaken, is if you start to take all these endorsers and fans for granted. You got to continue to grind and do the things that got you to
this
point.
Here's the deal. You can't have it both ways.
No.
All right, that's the bottom line. You cannot, all right, have TV contracts at $24 billion for the contracts and then turn around and say, well, we need someone to, you know, pay for our rights fees, and so we're going to raise the rates on our advertisers, and the advertisers are going to say, well, the NBA is hot, all right, and they'd say that I'm going to get this type of a rating, which means I'm going to have that many people watching, so I'll pay in excess of what I'm comfortable with. But when you don't get the returns – because teams are not playing their guys, then you start right then and there is when you start having that bubble kind of get, you know, punched a little bit.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to get more for less. That's just not going to happen. And it's not even rational. So how do you solve that and make sure that you know that your endorsers are feeling like they're getting something that's adequate and sufficient for what they are giving? That's why, Grant, I'm so glad that Commissioner Silver put this out, because it's the first shot across the bow, and now you got to sit down at the table and work it out.
And again, I have the utmost respect for LeBron James. I'm probably going to vote for him for MVP this year, but I don't like the way he's handling this. I want to read another quote. I just know the conversation gets a little bit more talked about when I'm a part of it. All right, you know what? I don't have a problem with that comment. If it's somebody else, it gets blown up briefly, it gets talked about a little bit, but it doesn't have legs and it's gone. But as soon as I'm involved, it's just a whole different situation. It's not just because you're involved, it's a whole different situation. People were outraged a week ago, outraged, when Steve Kerr sat down, Curry, Draymond Green, and Andre Iguodala. Outraged. Yeah. And Klay Thompson. They were outraged. So, you know what, LeBron? Stop being so full of yourself.
Well, I'm going to say this, because I disagree with you a little bit, Grant.
Okay.
And where I disagree with you at is I think that it's getting put on his plate more and more. And I will say this. He has been the most criticized athlete that I've ever seen.
I'd agree
ever.
With that.
So
unjustifiably so, too.
Yes. So I think that as it comes across his plate, and it's a press conference that he has, and more, it's just on him, bang, bang, bang. That maybe is why he's feeling that way. And I would take into consideration the fact that he is going to be criticized the most if he sits down, even though he plays the most minutes, been to the most finals, and all those different things. So it's kind of, man, he can't win.
Hey, you
for
know
losing.
What? Tyronn Lue's got to manage his minutes better.
He does.
What's hard about that? That shouldn't be that hard.
So do you think he should answer, go talk to Coach Lue?
Do I think what?
He should go. His answer should be go talk to Coach Lue. He's the one who's telling me to sit down. Because
with LeBron, I think LeBron's coaching the Cavaliers. I don't think Tyronn Lue is. And so in this case, I wouldn't say that to LeBron, because I think that he is coaching the Cavaliers. And I don't even have a problem saying that. I think he's the coach of the Cavaliers. So in this particular instance, probably not.
Yeah, I got you. Because
I think LeBron, if he doesn't want to play, he goes up to Tyronn Lue and goes, hey, I need a night off.
Wow.
What do you think Tyronn Lue's going to say then? No, you got to play? Come on.
No, he's not. He's going to say, oh, yeah, great. You want to stay, sit on the bench, or you want to be in the back? It's up to you, big man. No doubt.
It's just unbelievable to me. Really is. 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And you know what? If a coach wants to, and again, you're going to think this is crazy, but let's just say, instead of giving, since it's all about LeBron, instead of giving LeBron the night off Saturday against the LA Clippers, how about if you, as a coach, come out and say, you know what, all right, we're not going to rest LeBron, we're going to play him 20 minutes. To me, you should have four games that a coach can designate where the player's stats do not count against their season average, because there are a lot of bonuses involved with being the leading scorer in the league, leading rebounder in the league, and if you're not playing your normal 35 minutes and a coach is only going to play you 20 instead of resting you, then to me those numbers should not go against you when it comes to bonuses. That's the part that I think there's gotta be a mechanism to work out.
See, and that's a good point, Grant. I like that. I like that mindset because there are so many moving parts to this. Now
yes.
You've brought it to the players' bonuses. Then you talk about advertisers. So it needs to all get tabled, and you have to figure out a way for it to work. But the people who need to be put in the forefront are the fans because
yes.
they are the ones that move the needle, period.
Did you hear what Charles Barkley said?
No, but...
Okay, well, this is what Charles Barkley said on
okay.
it. He said fans should boycott going to the games, and then the NBA will get the message that the fans care. Now, I'm not going to go on the radio and tell fans to boycott, or I'm not going to do that. But what I am going to say, if fans stood up and said, we're not going to tolerate this anymore, what would happen? You'd have a crisis on your hands.
It would be a resounding okay, we understand, and it would get – when you look at Grant, Donald Sterling and what happened in Los Angeles, as soon as those advertisement signs started coming down, started getting covered up, he lost his franchise.
Yep.
So if all of a sudden you go to a 20,000-seat arena and there are only 1,000 people there or
uh-huh.
barely anything.
Again, yes. I'm not advocating that. I think there
no.
are other ways to do this.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you what Charles Barkley said. And, you know, we know Charles is out there. But, again, the commissioner of the NBA could not sit idle on this. He had to come out and address the situation. Had he not...
Oh,
I think we would have had a bigger problem. I applaud the commissioner for coming out on a very delicate issue, all right, and saying what he had to say.
Well, since Silver's been the commissioner, he has been absolutely amazing from the Donald Sterling situation on and on. He's been right up front. He's jumped out in front of it, dealing with Michelle Roberts and the MBPA, everything that he's done. And just another situation, because I'm sure he's hearing all this chatter. We're one sports talk show in this big country that we have, Grant, and you got to know that these call-in lines, they're full. They were full yesterday for 4 hours.
4 hours.
And they wanted to talk about this, and they're talking about it everywhere. They're talking about it on television,
yep.
and he's hearing that, and for him to respond, this is just, like I said, the first shot to get this tabled and to work it out.
I'll let everybody know I'm hosting the Jim Rome Show on Thursday morning, and I'm going to address this because I want to get a national perspective on this, Doug. I want to find out, you know, if fans that maybe aren't in rabid NBA cities have an issue with this.
Like your fans in Alabama,
yeah, right.
Memphis,
exactly.
Different areas that, yeah,
maybe not Memphis.
Yeah.
I don't want to hurt the Grizzly fans.
That's so bad.
But
you mean like places that don't have a city, but they watch?
Yeah, yeah. Like, all right, yes,
the
exactly.
Dakotas, different.
Yeah,
I got you.
Because I'll tell you right now, and I know that you only play 16 games, you know, and I know that sometimes at the end of a football season, coaches will rest players. And again, I think fans understand that. I don't have a problem with players not playing in the final week of the regular season if the playoffs start in a few days. I get that. That makes sense. And I don't think the league has a problem with that.
Or fans. Yeah.
But when you start resting players in the month of November and December.
Come on.
Stop it already.
It's just starting, Grant.
Yes.
Goodness gracious. I mean, there are so many different ways that to help solve this problem. Karl Malone brought up, you know, how long a person's been in the league. If you've been in 10 years, you get this much time. There are many different ways, and you mentioned with bonuses and different things on, you know, if you do sit out or there's four games that don't count against, there. And now you just have to figure out what is the best way to solve it so that the people who are spending their money, the fans, and the people who are endorsing the product are both getting what they want, and the NBA continues to grow, because that is the key. This
yes.
bubble is so big now.
Yep.
Now, maybe the bubble doesn't necessarily get bigger, but what I'm talking about is the footing underneath it so that there is something to fall on in case it does start to burst.
All right, so we're going to talk about this at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, coming up at 4:05. We will have Dave Yeager on. We'll talk to him about Malachi Richardson, whether or not he expects him to be on the floor tomorrow. We'll talk to him about the development of Scal Labissiere and George Papayannis. And we'll talk about some of the other things that are going on with his basketball team. So we've got Dave Yeager coming on at 4:05. We'll get into some football news when we come back. Surgery for the quarterback of the Panthers, Cam Newton. The Raiders might know next week whether or not they have been approved to go to Vegas. We'll talk about that as well when we come back, and your phone calls on Sports 1140 KHDK. Don't forget Dave Yeager coming up in 35 minutes, 4:05.
Coach!
Yeah, we'll have the coach on, and the Kings back in action tomorrow, taking on the Bucks, who play tonight in Portland. You know that if Portland wins, they are in eighth in the West. Actually, I'm going to have Terry Stotts on, the head coach of the Blazers, Thursday morning on the Rome Show.
Tell him I said hello.
You
man.
Like Terry?
I've been knowing Terry for a long time.
I like Terry.
Yeah, he's a really good dude, a good coach.
Yes, he is.
I like him. Seems like one of just on it, honest, just go after it type of coach. Yeah,
yeah.
I dig him.
Yeah. So if they beat Milwaukee tonight, they will be eighth in the West.
Okay.
And remember, Denver still has that really difficult five-game trip that's coming up.
Yeah, even when the Kings were still in contention, you had pointed that out. You said, you know, if the Kings stay in contention, look at this trip. Because it's a daunting one. I can't remember who they play, but when you looked at it, 4 out of 5, maybe they had a possibility to lose. So, race for 8 will be interesting.
You were talking about Karl Malone. He said this: if you don't have at least 10 years experience, get your ass playing. It's not work. It's called playing. Besides, tell our underpaid service members and police and first responders to rest. They can't.
Yeah, Carl is.
He's the best.
Yeah, he is. When he says 10 years, you and I were just speaking about this, 10 years could be, it's a tough one because you get a guy like Kobe, I think you got to relate it more to minutes maybe than years, because the minutes and the mileage that you put on a body is that's what's going to dictate whether it starts to break down, like with the car, whether it starts to break down, do you maintenance, all those things. Have you seen a correlation, Grant, between this quote-unquote rest and guys not getting injured?
I haven't, no.
That's where I think they're going to have to stick some analytics on that and say, okay, look at this guy. Let's take Rudy, for instance. Rudy got injured. And when did it happen? How many minutes does he have in his career? How many back-to-backs has he played? You know, had he complained about it before? There's a lot of things. Before we just – got to quantify it before you just kind of throw it out there and say rest is it, because you're using the word rest, but at the same time, the fans and the people who are sponsoring are the ones that are suffering.
All right, let's get to Sean. Hello, Sean. Welcome.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to bring up a point, like kind of just not really an argument. I do agree that the resting is becoming a problem, but I guess I want to bring up an example, I guess you could say. I'll give the Kings as one. Garrett Temple, when the Kings were on that road trip where they had 8 road games and 12 nights, I do think, obviously, like, someone like that, when you're guarding elite guards like Klay Thompson one night, another night you're guarding Jimmy Butler, I feel like there's a lot of wear and tear that can occur.
Yes.
And also, in addition to that, I think maybe the league really should look into either even adding a game on at the end of the season, because during that time, if you have 8 games instead of 7 and it's against another like really good team, for example, I think, or whatever team it is, I think maybe working with the schedule to where you're not doing those 4 games and 5 nights. I know they've decreased those, but maybe working with that so you can prevent the rest.
Yeah, you can't add a game at the end of the season, and they have prevented 4 and 5. They're actually going to eliminate that from the schedule. That's why next year, they're going to start the season a week earlier to have, you know, the schedule spread out a little bit more.
And Sean, to your point about Garrett Temple, Grant and I were talking. Is it possible that injury occurred because of so much play? It's possible.
But that was an abnormal situation.
Yes.
Because there was a makeup game the night before in Philadelphia, so that's a little different. I'll tell you something else that the NBA players should realize is not only, okay, in my opinion, is this a bunch of hogwash, a bunch of nonsense. And I can say hogwash because we have some fans currently listening in Arkansas. And, you know, we talk Arkansas, we talk about the Hogs. But the reality is, in the last 2 years, NBA players now have the luxury of an extended All-Star break, which they never had before.
Oh, boy.
So they're actually getting a lot more rest than they normally would because of the extended All-Star break. So, yeah, I'm tired of the players whining. You know what? Shut up and play. You're getting paid, you know, an average $8 million. All right? Stop it already. I mean, stop the damn complaining. Get on the court and play. And I know it's not really the players that are complaining.
Yeah,
so
okay.
I need to make that clear, although LeBron is it. But you know what? I don't want to hear Tyronn Lue talk about resting and why he's doing it. All right? I don't care. Steve Kerr, who I have the utmost respect for, love him as a person, can't say a bad word about the guy. He's wrong here. All right? He's hurting the integrity of the league, in my opinion. And Steve Kerr, all right, is not bigger than the league. And the Golden State Warriors are not bigger than the integrity of the league.
Yes. I can't argue that. Sean?
Can I add one more thing on?
Yeah.
This is kind of an unrelated note, but if you guys can touch on it eventually. With the draft, let's say the two point guards, Smith and Fox, are gone.
Okay.
I'll take this off the air. Who would you go with, small forward-wise, or anyone? Thank you. Bye.
All right, thank you. If they're off the board, I don't know who would be on the board, but you said if Smith and Fox are off the board.
If Smith and Fox are off the board, there's I don't know how to say his last name, Frank Nikilia.
Yeah, right.
From France, 6'5", 190, that has a – now he would be more of a – you don't know exactly what you're going to get there. And he could be a big hit, or he could be Exum from Utah.
Or Emmanuel Mudiay.
Or you're right. No, you're right. You're funny, man.
Well, no, all I heard was how great Mudiay was going to be and, what he did over in China.
But
and
remember
whole
give the keys to the car thing.
Right,
the kid has talent.
Yeah, well, that's right. And I'm going to give him one more year. I give guys 3 years.
Okay. So, hey, if you're listening to Mudiay, you got 1 year with Grant, and then, boy, oh, boy, it hits the fan.
It's pretty bad, though. I shouldn't say pretty bad, but it's a little alarming when you lose your job to a Jameer Nelson who –
Yeah, he should be at the end of his career. Yeah, he should be a really quality backup that comes in and supports that guy as opposed to moving in front of him.
All right, let's get to some phone calls, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140 with William. Hello, William.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
What's happening?
Good. Hey, you know, I heard you say you were going to have Dave Vigor on there.
Yeah, at 4:05.
Well, I was going to ask you, I wish you'd ask Kim the poignant question. Why is he resting Sacramento Kings players in some recent games when they're one of the most losingest teams in basketball?
William, I wouldn't necessarily call what
coach to lose to rest people when they're losing every night.
I wouldn't say he's resting. What they're trying to do at the same time is develop talent because they have a logjam at many different positions. Now, I don't know this. I'm just speaking off of what I see. That you got to make sure that you have enough minutes to go around there as opposed to just putting a guy in for 5 minutes. That now, Coach would obviously have to answer that, Grant. I don't know
William,
your take on that.
Are you a Kings fan?
Me?
Are you a Kings fan?
I'm a season ticket holder. Go to all the games. Watch it all.
Okay. So then you were a perfect person for me to ask you this question. Before the Kings had, as you point out, the coach resting players.
Right.
The Kings had lost 8 games in a row. The first night that he rested, in your term, 3 players, they won. The next night, he did the same thing, and they won. So they lost 8 games in a row playing everyone. And then when he did start playing the younger players and, as you say, rest the 3 players on back-to-back games, they won 2 games in a row. That's number one. Number two, William, the reality is the Kings don't move the needle in the NBA. They don't, all right? There are 25 teams in the league, maybe 26, that when fans go to watch play, they're not going to be brokenhearted if Kosta Koufos is not on the floor, all right? It's not the same as going to watch the Warriors and not seeing Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green play. It's not the same as not seeing Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, and LeBron James play. That's the reality of it. And, you know, again, there's a big distinction to be made there, in my opinion.
Okay, you know, you're the boss, Grant, but I also want to say is, you know, I hear Coach Yeager always talking about, well, it's been a long road trip and we had some tired legs there and not always contributing. You know, I've never heard that kind of, like you said, the Malone, the Jordans, those guys never complained about being tired. There's 13 guys on the bench in a uniform. If somebody's tired,
well, first of all, Dave Yeager is only speaking the truth. I've done NBA basketball for 29 years, and there are many times during the course of a game when I see a team shooting poorly and barely getting the ball to the front iron, well, I'll say, well, that team's tired. They're playing their 4th game in 5 nights, or they've had 3 games in 5 nights, and they're tired. There's nothing wrong with that, William. That's not that's not reinventing the wheel or making excuses. That just happens to be reality. And, William, Doug and I are not on the air, and Doug knows a hell of a lot better than I do because he did it and I didn't. We're not on the air saying it's easy to play 82 games, and we're not saying that you're supposed to be great every night for 82 games, and we're not saying that players are never tired, and we're not saying that players sometimes, you know, would love to have a night off, but they go out and play because it's their job, and we're not saying that, you know, guys aren't fatigued at times. We recognize those things to be true.
Yeah, I'm following you.
All right, thank you. You have a great rest of the day, William. Yeah, thanks for your phone call.
Grant, 82 games plus 8 preseason games at the time, that's 90, plus, you know, a deep playoff run into May and June is well over 100.
And LeBron's been to the finals 6 years in a row.
Yes, it is absolutely difficult.
Yes.
That is why it is paramount that you take care of your body. And this has to be your sole focus with the exception of family. That's why when they ask you what are the top three things in your life, basketball better be up there.
Better be in the first three.
It doesn't have to be one, but it
better be in the three.
Absolutely. Yep. And yes, it is difficult, but it is doable. Because we've seen the greatest player ever, arguably, and I think so, in Michael Jordan, who we never heard this from. And it was way more physical, and he was going to finals. I think I looked there. They won 3 in a row. Then he played
baseball for 2 years, so he went to the finals 6 out of 8 years.
Yeah, and, you know, so it's doable. And with medicine, travel, nutrition,
and playing
all
in the
these
Olympics
different
too.
Things. Yeah, come on. You got to get out there and get it done. Yes, it is 3:42. Time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sactown.
All right. Dave Yeager at 4:05. More of your phone calls right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Grant Napier and Doug Christie. You know, with each passing day, I'm starting to take the other side of the fence when it comes to Lonzo Ball. And
what's the other side of the fence first?
The other side of the fence is let someone else deal with his father.
Gotcha.
All
okay.
right.
Gotcha.
So his, I mean, it's just unbelievable. His other son, right?
Mm-hmm.
Losing in the state final, right?
Semifinal.
Semifinal, excuse me.
Yes.
And so LeVar's not happy.
Not at all.
And so he goes on ESPN LA with Keyshawn Johnson and two others that I'm not familiar with. But anyway, and he went off on the head coach of Chino Hills, all right?
Who, from my understanding, they said, I don't know this for sure, so I'm just speaking maybe out of turn, that he handpicked.
Yes.
Like he had some input on this coach.
Okay, so LeVar said this. Man, we were supposed to go to Sacramento, but that coach is hard-headed. He wanted to do things his way. If we would have gotten along, we would have been in the state title easy, but he's trying to have a little resistance towards me, and I'm like, man, try and do it your way. That's why you lost 3 games. Because once he run and just play, and when my son really wants to play for you, we're going to do good. But when you have any kind of resistance towards me, and you the head coach, it doesn't work out that good. I already knew he was going to lose that game. You know what? I am with each passing day and week, hearing about LeVar Ball this, LeVar Ball that. I don't know if I'd want him in Sacramento. I really mean that. I'm, you know, and it's not my decision if he's on the board and what Vlade Divac will do. Mm-hmm. But I got to tell you, you know, if you're getting Lonzo Ball, you're getting LeVar Ball. You're not separating the two. You know, you can't say, well, we're taking Lonzo, but we're not taking LeVar. It seems to me that if you're taking Lonzo, you're taking LeVar too. And I'm not so sure I'd want that guy anywhere near my organization.
You know, on the initial, I was on one side of the fence and saying he's putting a target on his back. After listening to him, seeing him in some interviews, I started going the other side of the fence. And I'm saying, you know what, I understand kind of what he's doing and what he's saying. With this comment right here, Grant, this is a red flag because now he's in putting – now, not to say that he's going to do this in the NBA, but if you're willing to do it, you're willing to do it anywhere probably. So when you start talking about if you don't get along with me, my son doesn't want to play for you. So, you know, if you are an NBA team and you say to him, look, you can't come to practice, you can't fly on the plane, da-da-da – and he's like, okay, well, my son isn't going to really give you 100%. Those are things that you just can't have. This one was a bad look, in my opinion.
I just, you know, to me, what LeVar Ball has shown since Lonzo came onto the scene, I mean, I wouldn't have known, you know, LeVar Ball from, you know, Lucy Ball, all right?
And that was pretty good.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't have, okay? But now LeVar Ball can't stay out of the news, okay? What's so funny? You think Lucille Ball and LeVar Ball, you would have known the difference? I wouldn't have known the difference. So my point.
I used to like Lucille Ball.
But I wouldn't have known the difference between Lucille. I wouldn't know the difference. So my point is, now I know who LeVar Ball is. And guess what? With more and more notoriety with his son, he's going to get worse and worse. You think he's going to get better? What happens the first time that he's on a team and he doesn't like the way the coach is using him? Or let's say Lonzo has a bad game or two, and instead of playing 20 minutes a game, the coach benches him for a game or plays 5 minutes a game. You want to hear LeVar Ball ripping the coach of your team? I don't think so.
Well, now that takes you kind of to Steve Alford. And when you think about him maybe going to Indiana, and if he, the next ball that's coming to him, in my opinion, from looking, isn't the best one. It looks like the first one, Lonzo, and the last one, and the young one, are going to be the best. So now if you're going to have to deal with the father dealing with this young, the second one, and maybe he isn't good enough to start, but he wants him to start. Man, I mean, to Steve, he might sit there and say, you know what, I am going to leave because I don't want to. Even though I got a good gig right now, I'm not going to leave. It just make me think of Lucille Ball.
Ricky! I would have, and you know what, I was getting a little carried away there. I would have known the difference. I may not have known who LeVar was, but I would have known who Lucille was. I just wanted to put that out there. All right, I was trying to paint the picture. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
all right, let's get to Anthony. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, gentlemen, how's it going?
What's up, Anthony?
Hey, I see this thing with the guys resting a little bit different than you guys do. I think it's a matter of the games just not being as important as they used to be. There's really only two or three teams in the NBA, maybe four, that legitimately have a chance of winning a championship. And I think it's more about how well dispersed the players are in the NBA. I remember, Doug, back in the day when we were so good, every game meant something really, really important because we were trying to be the home team, when the next round of the playoffs came around. Mm-hmm. And it was so important that we didn't want to give up a single game.
You know,
what are your guys' thoughts on that?
He has an interesting point there, Grant, because the teams that are resting players are San Antonio, Golden State, and Cleveland. Those are three teams that absolutely have a shot. We talk about James Harden, and James Harden said, you know, I'm just a baller. I like to ball, so I'm going to go out and play. I'll rest when I'm done. Well, he hasn't been to that point yet, so maybe he doesn't quite understand that. So, you know, it's not that I'm flip-flopping. I kind of understand both sides of the fence, and you bring up an interesting point. It is, Anthony. It's like there are only a couple teams that are actually viable to win a championship, and those are the teams that have been there before, and they're choosing to rest their players, even though it's terrible.
I take it one step further. We've talked a lot about the difference between the NBA and the NFL. In the NFL, the hard salary cap in the NFL gives you a lot more parity across the league. There's more teams that have an opportunity to win across the league than there are in the NBA. I think if you really want to talk about making a difference and these guys wanting to play every single game, there needs to be a little bit more parity in the league across.
Well, you know what? If you draft well, there will be more parity because the new collective bargaining agreement and the rules of the NBA make it a lot more sensible from a player's perspective to re-sign with his original team because the difference in dollars is night and day. And so I think you're going to start seeing teams that draft well will have a much better chance of keeping those stars instead of losing them because of the difference in dollars.
Well, also, Grant, know that, and Anthony, know that in NFL, the fact that the contracts aren't guaranteed, that makes you want to get out there and play. That will never happen in the NBA, but it's just a serious case in point. Grant, I need you to share the story because this
Bill Wennington
story
told
says
me this
everything.
You know, when Michael Jordan played for the Chicago Bulls, before the game, Michael saw Tony Kukoc in the shower and said, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "Well, I'm not playing tonight." He goes, "What do you mean you're not playing tonight?" He goes, "You know, I hurt my ankle, so I'm not playing tonight." He goes, "You're playing tonight. You know, get your blank out of the shower, get dressed, and get on the court. You're playing tonight." He goes, "You can play, you're playing. Don't be giving me this, you're not playing, your foot hurts." Tony Kukoc went out and scored 26 that night.
go figure. And Michael Jordan was going to the shower because he just got done working out.
And he always takes a shower. Bill Wennington always told me that was his routine. And he sees Tony Kukoc in there, and he's like, what are you doing?
Great.
And he basically said, you're playing. That's nonsense. And went out and scored 26.
That's greatness and leadership, my friend. Get out there and get her done.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to tell Michael?
Yes, sir. All right, Malden, you're on with Grant and Doug.
Hey, guys. How you doing today? And heck of a show.
Thank you, sir.
What my thoughts is on this whole thing is that you have some of the most finely tuned athletes in the world, especially over the last 15 to 20 years when it comes to keeping themselves in shape. They have the equipment. They have the know-how. And for them to say that, you know, they need to take a night off or they're tired, that just doesn't really fit well with me. And then also the thing of it is if they feel that they need a break, why don't you bolster your bench to allow them to play more? Now, I realize that there are substitution patterns and so forth, but build up your bench, which will give them a breather and allow them to be able to play more, but not to the extreme that they're talking about. So I think that this whole thing about the fatigue or you need a day off, let me take a day off and I don't get paid. And I also feel like that if that's the case, if they want to take a day off, I know that they have the union rules, they shouldn't get paid for the game then.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
It is 3:57, time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big boys, it's for everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento.
All right, Dave Yeager is going to come on next. We'll talk Kings basketball right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.